coming up on TMS, I got out of a pickle at the DMV.
Mark knows all the old movies.
Burt Reynolds needs your help.
11 things you must know about Arby's.
They're all gross. Another day, another Cosby problem.
We have our Suicide Squad.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this very expeditious intro to the morning stream.
The tire you ride on, born in a Mississippi cotton patch, in a cane field in Louisiana. Maybe it started when some of its strange synthetic makings were pumped up from the ground in California or boiled up from the earth in Texas. And in the factories of Detroit and Akron and Dayton, men weave and fashion the basic materials, cotton and rayon, sulfur and carbon, rubber from trees and rubber from oil wells.
This is the morning stream. It puts the lotion in the basket.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, the morning stream. It's Wednesday, December 3rd.
3rd. 1, 2, 3.
It's the 3rd of December. And that'd be great. It would be 3RT would be the way we'd say it in this
first,
fictitious
second,
land.
Third.
Yep. Those are the ones. It's me, Scott Johnson. It's him, Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Yo. Hello, Scott.
Oh, gosh, dude. What a dumb day. What a dumb day it is.
Aww.
Do you want to know why it's a dumb day?
Yeah, tell me why it's a dumb day.
Actually, I mean, on here, it'll be fine. We'll have Nicole and Tom and
sure,
kind of the usual Wednesday business, which we always enjoy. So that's fine. That's all good. We don't have complaints about that. But yesterday, I had to go to the DMV shortly after this podcast completed its mission. And I had to go there because I lost my license about a week ago or so. Or, well, we think about 2 weeks ago when I went in for that CT scan. And I think I left it there and they never found it. So we like hounded. I may have told the story in brief on the show already, but just to give people a quick synopsis, I hounded them saying, where is it? And they said, we don't know. And we have a lost and found, but it's not there. And we'll call you if we see it. And we looked everywhere else in the car. We backtracked steps to everything where my possibly where my license would be. And the last time it had shown its ugly face, quite literally, was at that scan when the lady checked us in. And so I had to have it again because you got to have a license. You got to drive, right?
It's one of those things that you want to have in case you get pulled over or
my form of ID.
Somebody says, papers, please.
Yeah, if they say we need to see two forms of ID, well, one of them's got to be that because who has more than one that isn't that? I mean, you got to have that.
Right, exactly. I mean,
this is America, damn it. So we went to the DMV and it's a newer one. So I thought that was in my favor. Mm-hmm. But it's also a ways away. It took a while to get there. And, you know, we went as prepared as we thought we needed to be. We read online that if you lose your license, come on in and here's what you need to bring with you and do. So it said I needed to bring a my birth certificate, this ancient document that only Indiana
Jones
could.
Please tell me it looks like an old treasure map with the edges burnt a little bit and it's been folded and unfolded 100 times. So.
It's so old. I feel like I need to get it. You know, you can get those duplicated or whatever. I should probably do that because this thing is looking pretty frayed. Anyway, we keep it in an envelope in a safe and we never hardly use it, but for things like this. So we whip that out. And in that same envelope is my social security card, which is, I guess, another form of proof that I exist. And we took them both down there. And I even had my old driver's license with me, just thinking, well, that'll be a thing in case I need it or whatever. But that's, you know, as far as it went. We get down there. We wait in line. It's kind of long, but Kim and I are hanging out. I'm playing Crossy Road. She's playing Bejeweled 3. You know, your typical I'm in a waiting room behavior.
Yep, exactly. Got to have a game. And of course, now I have a new thing to look for, but keep going.
Oh, Crossy Road is so fun.
Of course it is.
It's basically, it's endless Frogger. But the art design and the style of it is its own kind of thing, and it's fan-freaking-tastic.
Oh.
It's free, too. I'm
already liking the sound of this.
It's
oh,
so
look
much
at
fun.
That.
It's
like
so much
little
fun. Little voxels. It's beautiful.
Yes.
It's a beautiful game. It really is good. Like, I can't stop playing it. And I'm sick of endless everything on the App Store, but not this one. Yeah. This one's great. Anyway, And it's free to play and truly free to play. Like, it doesn't ever hound you for money, ever.
Would you like to buy some more coins? I mean, they'll let you get across the street faster.
It'll give you, you can buy characters and you can watch ads to get free coins, but you don't have to do any of that. You can just play it. Cool. Anyway, so I'm playing that, doing that. I don't know, and I was seeing the irony that I'm playing a game called Crossy Road while waiting for a driver's license. And
sometimes you're the car, sometimes you're the frog.
Exactly. And they're being pretty expeditious. I get there, she sits me down, I take a new photo. This is all before we have to go do the actual paperwork, right? Mm. They're all, you know, official, and I couldn't do it online for those saying, why couldn't you do it online? If you lose your license, you have to go in because that could be, right. You know, somebody could be fishing around doing something dumb. So I go in there, I get up to the lady, she seems nice enough. Hello, sir. Freaking whatever. And I say, yes, ma'am. And we start the process of doing what we have to do. And I give her the application. She says, oh, I lost license, eh? I said, yeah, we don't know where it is. I'll probably find it when I go home. She goes, oh, that's how it always works. A little banter. No big deal. Sure. She goes, all right, can I see your life or your life? Your life certificate? Your birth certificate?
Multipass?
And your social security. I said, yep, here they are. Here is this ancient document. Please give it the care that only the Smithsonian would, because it's going to fall apart. And I hand it to her. Right. And she looks through it and she says, all right, now I'll need 2 pieces of mail. And I said, whoa, what? She goes, yes, 2 pieces of mail addressed to you. They have to have your name on it and your current address, because you've changed your address since you last got your license renewed. And I went, oh, well, I don't have that. And she says, oh, well, yeah, well, we probably can't help you then, because you got to have these 2 pieces of mail. And I'm like, 2 pieces of mail? Like what? Like a coupon? Like what? And she says,
does occupant count?
She goes, it can be anything but your phone bill, which, by the way, is the only thing in the car. And I said, why? And she says, I don't know. The legislature there's a rule now that says we can't accept phone bills as that piece of proof, but we can accept coupons from Costco. Which, you know, she was kind of being ironic too, saying, isn't it dumb?
Just like, you know, one extreme to the other. Wait. Okay, so wait, they can't take a phone bill.
Nope.
But
they can take any other kind of bill. Junk mail,
what is
a
phone bill? What's so different about a phone bill versus a, you know, a utility bill?
The only thing I can think of is like, if you bought, you may have bought a throwaway cell phone or something.
A burner phone?
Yeah, and maybe that's why. They're watching too much Breaking Bad or something. I don't know. It's super weird. And I honestly was getting a headache trying to think of why it exists. Why would that be a rule?
Yeah.
And I still to this moment don't know what the hell they were thinking. But anyway, we're scrambling now because I don't want to go all the way back home. I don't want to do this again. I don't want to get in line again. This is a giant pain in my arse. So I am scrambling. Kim goes, let me check the car. We're digging through her purse and we find a Costco bill or a Costco coupon book, and it has our new mailing address, but it's got Kim's name on it, so that doesn't work. So she's digging more, and she finally finds something in the car. It was like a piece of junk mail about nothing either of us cared about that fell between the seats that had my name and our new address. Okay, piece one. We need 2 pieces, though.
Oh, my God.
So we're digging where we can't find anything.
This is like Monty Hall. Anybody have a paperclip?
Totally, dude. Totally. And I'm thinking like MacGyver. I'm like, what can I do to make this work? Because I don't want to go. And she's like, oh, you guys seem so nice. I feel so bad. And I'm like, so I'm going crazy, digging through everything. I go through my wallet 4 times.
It didn't send you this on the application?
Nope. None of this stuff is on there. So I'm going, that's the thing. How would you even know? You'd have no idea. I mean, I guess some people know this just inherently. Oh, if you've changed addresses, you might need to buy that. But I didn't see that on the FAQ.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So,
for Pete's sake.
So here's the best part, though. Here's how. I got to queue up a sound file for this. here's how things went. I'm digging through my wallet for the 4th time. Kim is out in the car. The lady's putting in all the paperwork that she can up to a point to see if we do last second find this thing. And she was nice enough to say, "Look, if we don't, when you do come back, most of this is already done. So you just come in and sign, and you'd be done." Still a giant pain in the A, but we're getting that far. She's doing all she can. She has rules, I understand. She's just the messenger. I'm not going to give her any crap. Kim's out in the car frantically trying to find something in the car, and I'm standing there for the 4th time going through my wallet. I've looked at every card individually, every possible thing that could be anything in there, medical cards, all this stuff. None of it worked, but I looked at them all the fourth time, and I feel a hard thing at the back of my wallet, and I start to pull it out, and I hear this sound in my head. And guess what it was?
Your driver's license?
No.
Oh, that would have been
that would have been awesome. Oh, that would have been the worst moment of my life. It was my that thing I had to get online, the ministry card I had to apply for to perform that wedding in Phoenix last January.
Right.
So it's this black card that looks like it could have been made by anybody.
Right.
But it has my name and my address on it as the holder of the card and someone who's legally, you know, legal to give wedding, to perform a wedding.
Sure.
I got, it's legal an online
wedding.
Yeah. It's an, I can give wedding. It's an online thing that I got. You just go apply for it. It's called onlineministries.com or something dumb like that. I got it from Tom. Tom was the one who recommended where to get it. And, I hand this over. I said, is this going to work? And she goes, that's got your name. That's got your address. I said, yep. She goes, this is it. And then the music played again. And everybody freaked out. It was the most amazing moment. Because this stupid little churchy card. And then I got scared again because it's black with gold lettering. Mm-hmm. She couldn't copy it. Because you have to be able to scan it.
Photocopy it?
Yeah. So she is cranking the contrast up and she's going crazy because she's like, oh, if this won't copy, I can't use it. And now, now it's like second phase. Oh, no, we thought we had this. And eventually some dude came over, helped her with the copier, and they were able to get enough contrast that it worked.
You would have been able to just like, here, let me take a picture of it with my phone.
Yep.
I've got a photo editing tool. I'll switch the contrast, boom, fax it to your email it to you. Mm-hmm. You print it and you got it.
Yep. Now, here's the, problem solved, mission accomplished. I officially have a new driver's license coming through the mail, and I have a temporary license right now. However, here's the photo chat room. Temporary license.
See this. Oh,
I look 74 years old in that photo, and I don't know why. I think it's because
the video just went out.
Oh, did it?
The Twitch stream.
Is it down for real?
Yes.
Still down? It's not showing up over here.
Still down.
That's weird. Here, hold on. Let me verify that on this end.
Okay.
Because it looks like it's up for me. Oh, no, it is down.
Yeah.
What happened? Right then it went down? All right, we're gonna relaunch it. That's weird.
That's funny timing.
Yeah, nice timing indeed. Maybe there's some legal reason I'm not allowed to scan my photo on the thing. It's because there's this pattern in the background, probably to protect it from copyright or something. Yeah. Not copyright. Yeah. But it, the effect of the lines in it, the create all over your face, it looks like I'm 75 years old. It's terrible. It's the worst photo ever taken of me. So anyway, bottom line is...
You know what it broke down? It broke down right when you said, oh, and I felt something hard in the back of my wallet. And do you know what it was, Brian?
So they don't even know.
That's when the Twitch stream went down.
Yeah, it appears Twitch, it's not me. Twitch is down. All of Twitch.
Oh, boy.
Let me just check and make sure. Although they keep special stuff up for some people. See, these guys are probably up.
Almost no other way to come back right here.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Tommy will try to go for...
They're doing just fine with their Zan's Fighting Game Academy stream. That one's doing fine. But it looks like a lot of streams are down. I don't know why I'm down.
Jeez.
I don't know what's going on. It's frustrating, though. I'll try it one more time. Sorry, chat room. Our goal here is to provide quality entertainment on a consistent basis. However, Jeannie knows what to do. She'll pass around the Alpha Geek stream and they'll
That's
all
right,
back
yes.
on it. Okay, there's that. What else is happening? Oh, tell me about a tree. You were going to get a tree.
Yeah, so we've been talking this year about actually getting a real tree. So Tina and I, since we've been married, we've actually had a couple artificial trees that we just pull out every year. They're, you know, the right size for... They were the right size for our apartment. They were the right size for our first house. And they worked here for this house. And never even really thought much about, oh, we should get a new tree, a real tree this year. None of that. Well, this year we said, you know what? Let's do it. Because Tristan's getting older. For 17 years, he's only seen a fake tree in the house at Christmas in our house. And obviously a couple of grandparents maybe do the real tree every once in a while. So he's seen, I mean, he's seen a real Christmas tree.
Sure.
But we decided this year we're going to go out and we're going to get one. So we borrow the neighbor's truck, crazy neighbor Dave's truck.
Yeah.
We drive it down to Lowe's because apparently they've got really good deals. And the three of us start walking through the aisles, looking at all the different trees. Oh, here's one. Oh, it's 6 foot. That's not bad, but that's kind of flat on one side. Oh, this one has a big empty area right over here. That won't work.
Yeah.
And we come around the corner and it's almost like the hallelujah music again.
Oh,
we,
good.
We come around the corner. All right.
Here you go.
And we see the tree we want. It's the right height. It's full on every side. There's no big gaps. It's not flat on one side.
It's not all drying out anywhere.
It's not all drying out. There's a nice branch at the very top for the star that you put the star on.
Yeah.
So like, oh, perfect. So Tristan grabs the front end. I grab the stump end. And we walk it up to the front, and they're directing us around. They've actually got a table where they trim off some of the straggly branches and slice the very bottom off of it so that it can drink water again.
Yeah.
And so we're approaching that table, and Tristan, you know, is looking at me, and he accidentally knocks over a little tree that's sitting on the ground with his little kind of like a little desktop tree.
Yeah.
Little tree you'd put in, you know, on a bar or something.
Sure.
And Tina says, oh, don't worry about it. I'll get that one. And Tristan's still looking back as he's approaching that table, and crack.
Oh, no.
And everybody looks at me like you know, the two Lowe's guys are looking at me. Tristan's looking at me with this panicked look on his face. Yeah. Tina's looking at me. And one of the Lowe's guys says, he just snapped the top off of the tree. You still want it?
Oh, so my Tristan, gosh.
In looking back at the little tree knocked over, managed to snap off that perfect straight up branch that we were going to put the star on. We're like, yeah, we'll take it. It's fine. Like, this thing, the little stick is laying on the floor with the tag on it, because that's what they've got the tag attached to.
Yeah. Wow.
So we take it up there and get it on the table, and we're like, well, let's try it. You know, maybe we can trim some of the stuff around that to make a new a new top stick. And so our tree, it still looks fine. It still looks really good. However, the top quarter, the top 25% of the tree is round, like almost round. Instead of tapered, it just kind of goes to a big ball,
like a more of a what's the word? It's like an eraser end, not the pointy end of your
thing.
That's
right. It's all about the base. Yeah. No trouble.
No trouble. Right. Got it. Wow, that sucks. Jeez. You know, we knew it wasn't going to be easy though. You're moving to a real tree for once.
Exactly.
It had to be something.
It had to be some sort of Griswoldian occurrence.
Called Griswold's a disease. That's what it's called.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, I got Griswold's. Oh, my tree sucks. Well, that's good. I don't know. I think we've gone fake this year. I think we have some sort of fake arrangement. last year we had a real arrangement, and this year it's fake. And I don't know why or what the reasoning was, except Kim is planning on doing some stuff with it, and I think doesn't want to be bothered with the needles and the whatnot.
Yeah, it is a big thing to have to clean up all those needles, have to keep it moist, keep the base, you know, submerged in water.
Yeah.
What to do with it afterwards?
Who the hell knows?
That's right.
We got a quick email from Mark who wrote in and said all the movies. Or that he's seen all the movies, and I was curious about this. He's 20 years old, and he says this. Hey, Scott and Brian, I was listening to the December 1st morning stream, and you guys were talking about how most people my age have no idea how old movie stars are, or doesn't really know. I think what he means, he doesn't know who they are.
Old movie stars are, yeah.
I pride myself on the fact that I was raised on all the classic movies and TV shows. I love all the... By the way, he does not like capitalization as normally used in sentences. That's one thing he doesn't like.
He does capitalize... Oh, no, I was going to say, he does capitalize the word I, or the letter I, but he does not. No,
and proper names. They all get caps, but starts of sentences, forget it. There's a lot of lowercase I's here.
Nobody got time for that.
It's 2014, damn it. Quit capitalizing. I love all the old actors and actresses such as Humphrey Bogart, Steve McQueen, and Judy Garland, just to name some that you mentioned. My all-time favorite actor is James Stewart. Ah, Jimmy Stewart.
Mary, you want the moon? I'll throw a lasso around the moon and get it for you.
I got you the moon.
Mine's more Deckard Cain is drunk. So.
Well, I was going to say, yours is like the Jimmy Stewart that was on Johnny Carson or David Letterman. My old dog, Spot.
I wrote a poem about my dog. You want to hear it?
I want to hear how.
Then he loves Spencer Tracy and then Gregory Peck. Those are his top three. I love when you guys, especially Scott, talk about everything wrong with my generation because it usually is the exact opposite and it makes me laugh. Love the show though, Mark. Mark, you are a special flower in the forest of trees. Do not think that you are the norm by any means. That's awesome. That means you're cultured and you have like a broad mind and you're checking things out that aren't necessarily of your generation. But that you are kind of, I'm not saying you're alone, but you're in a unique category there. And that's awesome. That's totally cool, man. Yes. I mean, you're into that stuff more than I ever was. I just know these people by name. I don't watch their movies or care much about them, but you actually like them.
Sure.
And that's great.
Good for you, Mark.
I'm part of the problem.
Way to be the guy who's seen more than James Stewart movies than It's a Wonderful Life and The Man Who Knew Too Much.
I've seen Rear Window. Rear Window and what was the High Anxiety? No. What was the
Vertigo?
High Anxiety was like a spinoff of that.
It was the parody, yeah. Mel Brooks parody.
All right. Well, enough of this jibber jab. Let's get Daryl in here.
Get
the show on the road. Still no Twitch. I don't know why. It even says it's broadcasting. Clearly it isn't. I wonder if video games. I play a lot of video games and I think they're great. And please let us back on the air. All right. Daryl, here's your thingamajigger. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by
Hero Movie Podcast, the best source of superhero movie discussion in the multiverse. Each week, Adam, Sean, and Bruce talk exclusively about the only movies that matter, superhero movies. Hero Movie Podcast has it all. Find it at Hero Movie Podcast or simply Hero Movie Podcast wherever you find podcasts. I'm sure they'll be talking about Suicide Squad in the next episode.
Yeah, we will, actually. Mm-hmm. Or they will, and so will we, is what I meant to say. Daryl, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. That's good news. Something's working. That's what I like to hear. I don't know why Twitch is down. I guess you don't care.
Daryl, good for you. Good for you.
So you're listening to us via the stream, the audio stream, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that works for those who can't hear me at all and have no idea what I'm saying. You should listen to the other one. That makes no sense. All right, Daryl, let's get into it. Let's get right into it. Let's rumble in the streets over a Star Trek question, because that's what you come on here and answer every morning. You are the Star Trek nerd, and you answer Star Trek trivia questions because it's fun, and that's why we do it. So everyone just back off. All right, here's your question for today. It is Next Generation related. Oh, it's another reenactment.
Oh.
I guess it's a whole week of those.
Oh. It's all acting week, yes.
I guess it only took me till Wednesday to figure out that all of these are reenactments. Here's the part of Worf will be played by Brian Ibbett. Scott Johnson will play the part of Deanna Troi. And we will now ask you what episode this comes from in The Next Generation. All right, Brian, go.
How we go? Enter, you are without honor.
Did the table do something wrong?
No, you are without honor.
I'm glad you worked that hard on Ensign Lopez.
He made a mistake. The duty roster was inaccurate.
Would you like to talk about what's bothering you? Or would you like to take a break with some furniture? Or break some furniture is what I meant to say, my body.
Your acting is without honor.
My camel toe is without honor.
All right, Daryl. End scene. That's your scene. We've set it up beautifully, obviously. I mean, clearly that's the best acting you'll hear all day.
Our accuracy was spot on.
Yeah. While you think about the possible... here are the answers. A, birthright. B, the Icarus factor. C, firstborn. Or D, rightful heir. Those are your options. Birthright, the Icarus factor, firstborn, or rightful heir. Before we move on to the food segment thingy we do, I watched for fun last night with Kim before bed. We watched an episode of Futurama and we decided to watch... Oh, because the reason this came up is we watched the documentary I Know That Voice.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Finally finished that with all the voice actors, like cartoon and video game and whatever voice actor people. And it's if that documentary does anything, it inspires people to want to watch Futurama. Because yeah. there's a lot of references to it, and there are a lot of actors from it.
A lot
it.
Of Billy West on there.
Yeah, lots of Billy West. John DiMaggio, who plays Bender, actually helped produce and get this thing made, so he's all over this thing. And there's a lot of really strong references to Futurama stuff, and Matt Groening is in there a lot talking about these two shows and all that stuff. Anyway, it's really good. Totally worth seeing. It's a crime that Liam O'Brien's not in it, but whatever. I'm biased. But the point is, what's the point? Oh, we decided to watch this episode, and it happened to be the one with the old Star Trek crew in it. And I just wanted to remind listeners that if you're looking for a good time, you go no further than that episode where the old crew shows up. It's fantastic. It's great. Daryl, would you agree?
Where the old crew shows up?
Yes, Kirk and everybody. It's a great episode, man.
Oh, you mean the Tribble one?
No,
Futurama episode.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
All right. I feel like I'm talking to a crazy person.
One of my best.
Are you shaving? What are you doing?
It's one of the best ones.
All right, we have to do this now, everyone. We have to.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We have before us an option. I got that box, but I haven't opened it yet. It's a little one. Brian, did you get yours?
Oh, I did. Yeah, the one from Genie.
Let's open it like Christmas. It says, from Jeannie for the food segment is what it says on her from.
And it's very appropriately for the food segment.
I would agree. I haven't opened it yet, so I'm going to open it now. I don't even know what's in here.
Well, then once you do, you'll realize how appropriate it is for the food segment.
Okay. All right. There's some sort of bag. Oh, wow. Oh, I dropped the paper.
Did you drop the paper? You ever seen paper?
these look like little, what is this? Oh, it says right here, for the three naughty boys to test during TMS. And she has a little smiley face there.
What does it look like? Come on.
Well, I can't tell here. They look like little cheese balls. Oh, no.
They're coal.
Oh, are they coal?
They're coal, yeah.
Yeah, but how do you eat coal?
Well, you unwrap it and you stick it in your face.
All right.
It's double crisp coal.
Okay.
Being naughty never tasted so nice.
Oh my gosh. Oh, they are. They're pounded into little coal shapes. That's awesome. That's really cool. All right. I get it now, naughty. I get it. It's all coming through.
Okay, good.
What flavor of chocolate have we here? It looks like, oh, I know what this is going to be like. It's going to be like a Crunch Bar.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Oh, chat room here. Oh, you can't see it anyway. It's a big one.
Chat room, look at what.
Just in case they can, that's what it looks like. I don't think. Well, people on YouTube will see it.
Oh, right. That's right.
I do. I'm
checking. Should put my pants back on because somebody will still see this.
Yeah, you need your wiener not. You need your wiener in, not out. Never
when
have
you
it
put
out.
Two of these together. They look like a D20.
Oh yeah, they do. Look at that.
True. Yeah.
Or a diamond.
Diamond?
A diamond. Okay. All right, here goes. Let's take a bite.
Oh, it smells good.
Yeah, these are straight up.
That will do just fine.
These are straight up Crunch Bars. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, it's lovely. Nothing wrong with that.
That will do just fine.
You know, if you're going to give me coal for Christmas, I could do a lot worse than that. Oh, Jeannie, these are just fine. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to give these to the children. Thing. My kids
I'm gonna
are gonna
be
love
putting
these.
Some of these in Tristan's stocking.
Yeah, that's all he's getting this year.
Damn right.
All right, those are those. And Daryl now has a birthday to share. Who's having a birthday?
That would be Joseph Gatt. He's 40 today. He played Science Officer 718 in Star Trek Into Darkness.
Happy birthday!
I'm trying to think if I remember seeing that guy.
He's the guy, the bald guy with weird eyes, and I think he was supposed to be an enhanced humanoid or something.
Oh, yeah.
Say his name again?
Joseph Gatt.
Yeah, what was his character's name?
Science Officer 0718.
Oh, yeah,
he was
kind of
like a cyborg-looking guy.
The dude looks like he could have been the Traveler, too, almost.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of proto-Data is what I was getting a feeling
like
off of that.
He shaves his eyebrows, too.
Yeah, like Guinan.
He's my favorite actor in that whole movie.
Wow, that's not that says that's a thing to say. What wait, you know, a lot of people really don't like Into Darkness. as time has gone on. I had a really fine time with it. I don't know why everyone hates it so bad.
Yeah, I like it. Oh, he was Thin Warg in Game of Thrones.
Oh.
And he does a lot of motion capture stuff.
Yeah. He is famous. I was going to say he's famous for all kinds of mocap and, video gamey things. I want to say he was, maybe confusing him with somebody else. But, yeah, no, that guy's cool. What is it, though, with Into Darkness? What is the problem? Why is everyone giving it such short shrift now?
Oh, because it was just a copy of the Khan movie.
Well, I felt like...
Only it's kind of it comes off as a parody of it instead of being something new and exciting.
Yeah, I think there could have been... if it were me, I would have gone for a more original story.
Yeah, they didn't have to do so much similar with...
But once they committed, I think the execution's fine. It's not like... It may have been a flawed decision, but I feel like it was, deftly made. It was fine. People acted in it. It moved at a good pace. It gave me popcorn fun, which is really all I ever want.
It gave me popcorn fun.
Popcorn fun. You didn't have to put Spock in there again, though. Old man Spock. You didn't have
right.
to do that.
It was a useless. Yeah. It really was a useless thing.
Yeah. Also, I don't think
he was also a frost giant in Thor, in the first Thor movie.
Oh, well, of course he was. Who wouldn't have been? Okay. Well, there you have it. Thank you, birthday guy. Happy birthday to that guy. How old is he?
40.
40. Oh, goodness. He's a child. Just a child. Let's move on now to your question.
A big, bald child.
Big, bald, professional, Hollywood-type child. Birthright, the Icarus Factor, firstborn, rightful heir. Which episode did our amazing acting come from?
Well, let's see. I remember the table. Would you like to break another table or whatever Troy said? Mm-hmm. All these are those stupid Klingon ones.
They really
Klingon
are painful.
Lore.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't hate Klingon lore. I just don't like how they do it. Like, I just don't like their method. It's so, I don't know.
It's so two-dimensional.
Yeah, plus it's like, we get it. Worf's a fish out of water. We get it. We know, okay, he's in the Federation. That's hard for him because his instinct is to just kill everybody with a batleth every 5 seconds. I get it. Fine. Yeah. Move on. We get it.
And the house of whatever and the son of that guy.
Yeah, but I feel the same disdain every time Data has feelings or something. It's just like, all right.
It is. It's the same.
I know they want to keep going back to that well, but I don't know. I love TNG. It makes it sound like I don't like that show, but there's the moments where you're like, all right, we get it.
It's just that one little thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Icarus something first what?
Birthright, the Icarus Factor, firstborn or rightful heir.
Firstborn.
God, even the episode titles are two-dimensional.
Right?
Yeah. I'm going to say...
Birthright, firstborn, rightful heir.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Birthright just because it rings a bell for some reason.
Bong! What does your bell sound like?
Zert. It's more of a clunk.
More of a zert.
Zert!
Your bell is weird. All right. Let's see if you are correct about it being that one, which is Birthright. Is it?
Congratulations.
Oh, it is.
You're a winner.
Worf receives word that his father may be alive and being held in a Romulan prison. Prisoner came. I think you meant camp. This angers Worf because, Klingon honor and all that mumbo jumbo. Here's an actual clip of the comparison. So you can hear there. This is, you've heard our take. Now hear the real one. Here you go.
Enter.
Well, they had Foley work and stuff.
Yeah.
Did the table do something wrong?
No.
I'm glad you weren't that hard on Ensign Lopez.
He made a mistake. The duty roster was inaccurate.
Would you like to talk about what's bothering you, or would you like to break some more furniture?
Oh, she's just feeling all saucy, and I guess she knows how to handle a Klingon. That's what that is. They have two, they have backup organs. Isn't that true of the Klingons? Do I have that right?
I think so.
Yeah, like two livers and two hearts.
That way, if the Wurlitzer goes out, they can play the the other Wurlitzer.
Yeah, the other Wurlitzer.
Yeah,
I can't either.
I can't think of a second organ maker.
Hammond organs.
Hammond, there we go.
Yeah.
Right.
J. Hammond organs.
Yeah, J. Hammond organ.
It's a grumpy organ.
It only goes meh, meh, meh.
Looks like Twitch is back up.
Oh, is it? Is it working? Because I'm still broadcasting.
Yep.
Okay. Working. All right. Don't ask me. Don't know what's happening. We've got to shift some of these resources to that guy playing Dota. Stat. Daryl's the Trek Nerd. He's on Twitter as that name, the Trek Nerd. You can also listen to his Star Trek show, This Week in Trek, at thisweekintrek.com, and that show at J. Hammond Chamberlain over there at the Grumpy Cast. Well, that's the thing you can do. Go do it. All right, Daryl, let's go out with a little game from you. What are you gonna do for us here?
Star Trek thing or actual scrotal disorder?
Oh, I love these. Here's your theme today. It's a nice honorable, a nice scrotal disorder theme. All right, go.
Panar syndrome.
Panar.
Panar syndrome. This Panar. sounds like the old switcheroo. It sounds like he's trying to make his thing scrotal disorder, but I'll bet you this is really a Star Trek thing.
Yeah, because we've learned with Daryl, it's not just one switcheroo, it's two layers deep.
It can be a double switcheroo, yeah. Or even a triple.
Yeah.
Quadruple.
Quadruple. Ooh, there's a new mouse in the window well. Hello, buddy.
Oh, they keep falling in there.
Yeah, but I've got a way to get them out now. So
we saved, put a little ladder in there.
We saved the last one with a big cardboard tube that he used to ship prints in. Yeah,
nice.
Just went up that, saved his ass. Stupid ass mice.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm kind of with Brian here. I feel like it's Star Trek because you want us to think it's not because you want us to think it is. If that makes sense.
This is. A neurological ailment fatal to Vulcans.
Yeah! Yay! See? Brian's instincts about scrotal sacs was dead on.
A double switcheroo.
Ah, that's what you call my scrotal disease. All right, what are we doing?
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, it's the news, and it's brought to us by...
The Figures Sold Separately podcast, the best in nerd and geek. Join us live on December 14th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with our special guest, Amber Nash. You know, she's Pam Poovy on FX's Archer. Oh, yeah. Go to fsspodcast.com or find us on iTunes. That's fsspodcast.com.
Yeah, she's getting around the podcasting world, seems like.
She is, yeah.
Burt Reynolds.
We had her do the intro at the Battle of the Frog Pants All-Stars.
Yeah, that was amazing. Year. That was totally this cool. Year. Brian keeps pulling out these celebrity intros. Insane.
Hey, I gotta thank our buddy in Atlanta, John Strickland, for that one.
Yeah. Two bald men put their heads together. Nothing can't be done.
That's right.
Sorry, spoke into my water there.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds, I know this sounds like celebrity poop here, but I think it's important. It's more of an overarching problem we need to bring up here.
Okay.
Burt Reynolds is broke.
Oh, no.
Well,
won't somebody think of the Burt Reynolds.
Well, cover him in Vaseline and put him in cowboy boots.
and then nothing else.
Nothing else. What's that from? I don't remember.
Playgirl.
Striptease.
Playgirl magazine. No, first.
Wasn't that Striptease?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Striptease. Yeah. He did do like a Playgirl spread, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's right. He was covered in Vaseline for Striptease.
Yeah, that was a funny. He was really funny in that.
He was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's broke. Lots of celebrities sell their stuff. Right now, for example, you can bid on Kim Kardashian's black thong onesie or a pair of gold-fringed toddler moccasins. A portion of the eBay sale proceeds go to the California Community Church, but when it... I don't know why they care to put that in there. But when it was announced that Burt Reynolds has decided to sell off some of his prized possessions, his motives were questioned. On December 11th and 12th in Las Vegas, Julian Auction House is set to be holding a sale of memorabilia, clothing, leather, chaps, anyone... decorative art, trophies, his 1998 Golden Globe for Boogie Nights.
Ugh. Oh, wow.
And more, including a 1997 Dodge Ram pickup with customized with a portrait of Reynolds as the bandit.
Oh, jeez.
Ha-ha! Or whatever. It's not even close, is it? There you go. Much better. the more than six. You know what? I think I have that still.
I think you do, yeah.
Can I keep that? I would have kept that. Let's see. Let's find it. Because I enjoy the hell out of that. Let's see. Nope. Hold on. Nope. That was it. That's it. I knew I'd find it. And that's only like five of the next 400 of these I kept. I keep so many. Okay. All right, one more. Oh! Oh, gosh, that one I hate. Wow. I don't like that one at all. Anyway, what was the point? Oh, yeah. So he's selling all this stuff, 600 items in total. And the speculation is now that he is broke. He's 78, had some health issues, including some back surgery he had in 2009, a quintuple bypass in 2010, also some financial troubles. He filed bankruptcy in 98 and in 2011 was facing foreclosure on his Jupiter, Florida home.
Hmm.
That makes me sad. I'm of a torn, like, all right, Bruce Reynolds,
sure.
He brought us lots of great movies, some of it before my time, some of it during my time and after my time, sure. But, it didn't seem like it was ever a problem. Like, he's always been a guy that you could count on for some entertainment and stuff. And then, you know, when his style of whatever would kind of wane, well, that's okay. He should have had some money coming in from his My Name is Earl appearances and other things. Like,
right.
I don't know what's happening. Is he just
It seems like he should be getting lots of royalties too, right?
I mean, maybe old Helmet Hair. What was her name that he married for a while?
Lonnie Anderson.
Yeah, maybe she. She's wearing like an Imperial a TIE Fighter helmet. It's blonde.
Oh, yeah, that thing is impenetrable.
Yep. But I wonder if she just bled him dry, or maybe there. I don't know, just blame her automatically. But what happened? There's got to be more. Where's the book? Let's have a book.
Yeah. Looking at his, his 2014 photos on Google Images. Dude looks really good for his age.
That's fine. Maybe it's a little bit. He's had some stuff done.
Yeah, a little bit. He's kind of pulling the Billy Bob Thornton thing, though.
Yeah, you know, a little bit. Let's see. I'm looking right now. Yeah, he looks all right. I'm fine with him. That one's a little scary.
Yeah, don't look at that one.
There's a couple of them in here, though.
There's one in the chat room that I just posted, I think is a good...
Oh, that Playgirl photo. I can smell...
I guess it's Cosmopolitan. I was corrected in the chat room. It was in Cosmo.
Well, I can smell the aqua velva coming off this webpage.
Can't you? Yeah, exactly. Bare skin rug.
There's some 2014 photos. Let me just check this out here. Yeah. Oh, he has a little son who's like tiny. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, anyways, what are you going to do? I just feel bad.
Yeah.
I like, you know, Cannonball Run, dude. It's good stuff right there. Ooh, that photo, though. Ugh.
There's some photos where he looks like Terry Kaiser from Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, dude.
I like the combination. There's one I'll post here.
Yeah.
In the chat room, there's one of him wearing like a red windbreaker and his red glasses.
Nice.
You could just see
that's Bernie.
Andrew, whatever, tying a wrist to his hand so they can act like they're playing Monopoly on the beach.
Totally. Oh, we should film sack one of those movies. I'm not big on the comedies, but that seems like a fun one.
Oh, that's number two. I mean, comedies like that. I think are ripe for film sack. It's comedies like Zucker Brothers stuff that we really can't do.
I agree. Check out that one I just put in. That's some early shot right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me sad. I think you should be able to, I don't know, whatever. Who knows what lifestyle he has led? I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I just know Cannonball Run was fun as hell. That's all I know. And I miss it terribly. All right. Brian, I'm here to help you. Are you ready to be helped?
Okay. Help me.
11 facts about Arby's, including the current whereabouts of Farrell's hat that every American should know. Okay.
That's a funny thing because their logo has, there's still an Arby's here in Denver that actually has the original giant hat, giant cowboy hat logo.
Yeah.
But most of them have changed to the regular sign.
Yeah. So. The ones out here, I want to say, are some combination of the name and then like a swirly thing that sort of is reminiscent of the hat, but not really the hat anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, here are the 11 facts that you need to know. Every American needs to know. Number one, yes, Arby's actually owns Farrell's hat from the 2014 Grammy Awards. They bought They bought it after the now famous Twitter exchange with the singer for $44,100, and all the proceeds went to Farrell's charity. Which, do you want to name the charity instead of saying it was Farrell's? Because you could just say, Farrell's charity, his yacht. It's the Farrell charity.
That's a good point.
That's really weird. So they own that now. Number two, the first Arby's opened in Borman, Ohio on July 23rd, 1964. It offered roast beef sandwiches, potato chips, Jamocha shakes, and Texas-sized iced teas. Mm-hmm. What is that? What does that mean? Just big?
Just huge iced tea. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
It's funny that they started with Jamocha shake stuff, because that's one of the things, in my opinion, they should be known for is those awesome Jamocha shakes.
That's true. Third on the list, by the way, all our out of country listeners, just bear with us here. All right.
It's an important. They have Arby's in other countries, don't they?
Do they? I don't know. I have no idea.
Huh.
They'll have to write in.
Yeah.
Third, French fries were added to the menu 6 years later in 1970. And curly fries, the thing they're maybe most known for, they weren't added until 1988.
See, now I would argue that the potato cakes are more of an Arby's staple than the curly fries.
Oh, I hesitate to refer to any of these things as staple foods. They're more like fried terrible. They're not. Those curly fries are terrible. They make me feel sick every time I ever ate them. Even as a kid, even as a teenager in 1988, I would eat those and go, ugh, I feel like crap now. They just weren't good. The Arby's roast beef sandwich has always had horseradish and barbecue sauce on it. That's one truth, it says. I don't know why that says that. This seems like a dumb one. Arby's famous beef and cheddar sandwich made its debut in 1978. As of July 3rd, 2014, Arby's has sold around 3.34 million pounds of corned beef and about 1.37 million pounds of sauerkraut. That's a lot of meat and a lot of bad breath. Oh, Huffbo.
Oh, sauerkraut.
Let's see. Ohio is the state with the most Arby's locations. And the only two states without Arby's at all is Vermont and Rhode Island. So you guys dodge that bullet. let's see. Hank Aaron, a Major League Baseball great, used to own a lot of Arby's franchises. That's a thing to know. Here's our final three.
All right.
By Arby's estimates, they could fill an Olympic-sized swimming pool with all the shakes they sell in 1 month. Gross. Mm-hmm. In 2014, Arby's ran a 13-hour beef brisket commercial. Though watching that sounds terribly boring, it did set a Guinness World Record for the longest-running commercial on television.
13 hours?
Yeah, what the hell? That's crazy.
When did they run that, and what channel?
2014, it says.
Yeah.
Doesn't say where, though.
What time? Like, you know.
Better be the middle of the night when no one cared.
I was going to say, started at 7 p.m. and ended at 7 the next morning or something.
Well, let's see. Wow. Duluth, Minnesota, and it's highlighted the process their beef briskets undergo before being served. 13 hours. That's long. That would take longer to watch than it does the entire series of Freaks and Geeks. Keep that in mind.
Right.
Doesn't say what channel. Anyway, final fact. Here you go.
Yeah.
Number 11. Arby's said it has sold over 5 billion classic roast beef sandwiches over the span of 50 years. Well, there you go.
Over 5 billion served.
I think they're gross.
They used to be so much better than they are now.
It's like Wendy's for me. Just gone downhill.
See, I like... I
Wendy's
do like,
is okay. And I think Wendy's like has a Utah problem. I really think. Mm-hmm. I think the franchises here have given up. They don't care anymore. Mm. Well, that's that. Let's talk about food you really want.
Yes.
HelloFresh.com is the food you really want. Go there and look at what's on tap this week from their actual chefs who create these recipes. Pick the one you like. Say, hey, why don't you send it to me? And they will. It'll come straight to your door. And in 30 minutes or less, you'll have those farm fresh ingredients and have it on the table ready to eat. It's amazing. HelloFresh.com is the place. MorningStream is the code for half off for your first time purchase. Go there today. Use them frequently. And be glad you did.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's celebrity poop, and it's not brought to you by anyone.
It's brought to you by Jell-O pudding and Coca-Cola.
Pudding.
A woman has sued Bill Cosby. Woman. We don't do those, do we?
No, come
okay.
on.
We need a descriptor on there. A woman has sued Bill Cosby. It's pretty grim news here. It's already grim news for Bill Cosby. He's got something like, 18 women are all accusing him of rape or some sort of inappropriate behavior over the years. Hush money and all this kind of stuff. And there's a new one. She is claiming underage abuse. A Southern California woman has sued Bill Cosby, claiming the comedian molested her in 1974 when she was just 15 years old. Judith Huth. Huth. Huth? You say Huth or Huth?
Huth would be my guess.
Huth. H-U-T-H.
I think we've found the rebels.
Ah, they are here.
They're on Huth.
The planet Huth. She has claimed...
The rebels are there.
Claims, let's see, in the sexual battery lawsuit filed Tuesday in Los Angeles that the molestation occurred in a bedroom of the Playboy Mansion. Boy, that place. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
What are you doing in there at 15? I'm not blaming... Look, I'm not blaming her. I'm just wondering what brought her there. That's what I want to know. Anyway, yeah. Huth's suit states... that she and a friend met Cosby at a Los Angeles area film shoot, and the comedian gave them drinks. And a week later at the tennis club, again. Where are the parents? What are you doing? Hey, parents in 1974. Hey, man, we're hippies, man. She can go where she wants to, man. Is that what they were doing?
You know, we give her ultimate freedom, man.
Yeah,
she can go wherever she wants.
Yeah, my dad was a real stick in the mud. We're awesome parents, man. Huth! And her lawsuit states Cosby took them to the Playboy Mansion after several drinks. Her suit claims Cosby forced her to perform boop with him on his hand. With his hand. Oh, gosh.
Oh, jeez.
An email message sent to Cosby's attorney, Martin Singer, was not immediately returned. The woman claims she suffered severe emotional distress that she discovered and she discovered its impact on her within the last few years, which allows her to file a lawsuit under California law. Yeah, it's looking grim for Bill Cosby, man.
It really is. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not saying every one of these claims is true. Like we talked about yesterday, who knows? But usually there's enough smoke.
It certainly seems like this is one of those things where it doesn't feel like a me too, you know, I want to try and make some money off of this kind of situation.
Yeah.
It feels like I didn't think anyone would believe me because Bill Cosby is so revered and you know, treated like such a god that I didn't think anyone would believe these stories. And that's why people might be coming forward. So
some people keep pointing to this from the 1969 Spanish Fly segment of his comedy album. Oh, come on.
Here we go. No, really? Stand on the corner. You know anything about Spanish Fly? What? Spanish Fly? It always happens.
It's kind of taken out of context because the joke is about how kids always think there's some magic pill.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And people are saying, oh, it's like drugging girls now.
Well, see, you know, that...
smoking gun.
That seems silly. I mean, you can't look at a complete comedian's repertoire and pull out just the things that are related to their controversy.
Yeah.
That I don't agree with.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You're right on there, Brian.
Sure.
Jared Leto, you know, he's a...
Leto?
Yeah, he's a... Is it Leto?
I think it's Leto, yeah.
I really wish it wouldn't be anything. I wish it was just Jared something else. I don't like that last name. Will Smith and Tom Hardy and Margot Robbie and Jay Courtney.
Uh-huh.
Those last two are household names.
Margot Robbie, Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, I don't know. Still haven't seen it. Is that the only thing that's ever happened there?
What's that?
Is that the only thing she's done?
She was in Pan Am, the TV show last year about flight attendants that took... It was like basically Mad Men in airplanes.
Yeah, lasted like 5 minutes.
Yeah, but she was the star of that.
Well, I know Will Smith and Tom Hardy. Them's I'm familiar with.
Okay, those get the thumbs up, the approval.
One of them says, "Welcome to Earth," and the other one says,
"You may find Gotham is not as welcoming as it once was."
They're both in this new Suicide Squad movie. And this is this DC deal. It's based on the series Suicide Squad, which follows a group of powerful convicts on a mission for the government. The movie features Hardy as group leader Rick Flagg, Smith as a lethal assassin Deadshot, Robbie as the Joker's psychotic girlfriend Harley Quinn.
Wow, nice.
Let's see. Courtney as Captain Boomerang and the British fashion model Cara Devangeline as Enchantress. This is all very exciting. That's an awesome series. So good, dude. You'd love that.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I've never read an issue of it, so I'm excited to see excited to see something about it. Is there, should I read the comic, you think, before the movie comes out?
I'd recommend reading it regardless, because I just think
comiXology?
It's, I just think it's really good. The Suicide Squad stuff's just great. In fact, they make an appearance. It's not really a spoiler, but they make an appearance, that the Suicide Squad in Arrow. So there's some fun with Arrow coming up when you get to that.
I'm really liking that show. And yeah, it's still good. In the first season.
Yeah, you're going to like it even more then, because it gets better. We look forward to seeing this terrific ensemble under Ayer's amazing guidance, given new meaning to what it means to be a villain and what it means to be a hero, says Greg Silverman in a clearly totally unprepared statement. President of Warner Brothers, Creative Development and Worldwide Production. If DC has me interested in movie adaptations from their stable at all, it's probably this. I don't know about the cast yet. I'm not entirely sure about all that. Whatever, they're probably fine.
3/4 of it I'm familiar with, and I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know who Jai. Which one is it? Courtney?
Is it Jay or Jai?
Jay Courtney, maybe?
I don't know. Let me look at a photo here. Say Jay when they
probably
have
probably one of those people that I know that I'll know once I see him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Let's take a look here. Jay Courtney.
Australian actor.
Oh, hello.
Known for his role as... he was in Good Day to Die Hard. He was in Jack Reacher.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's kind of Tom Hardy-like.
Mm-hmm.
He looks a lot like him. Weird. Oh, here it is. Oh, they didn't say who Leto was going to be. It's interesting. Hold on here. Let's see.
Rick Flagg. Smith is Deadshot. Robbie is Harley Quinn. Courtney is Captain Boomerang. And fashion model Cara Delevingne is Enchantress.
I just found another version of the article, and they still don't say why Jared Leto's tied to this. He must be the bad guy. Well, they're all bad guys, but the bad guy. I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell. There's nothing here. Oh, you know what? Maybe the speculation is he might be the new Joker. Yeah, and here it is. Leto will take on the new Joker. Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Because Harley Quinn's all his girlfriend, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's a good good role for him.
Will he be good at that? I don't know.
Huh.
Will he? What do you think? Do you think he'll be a good...
I think he'd make a great Joker.
Okay. I don't know, man.
I did just see... It dawned on me that I did just see Huntress in Arrow.
Oh, okay. Who'd you play? You mean the character Huntress.
The character Huntress. Yeah, yeah, they didn't call her Huntress, but...
I know where you are then.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's a good part of it.
Helena Bertinelli or Bartelli or Bartolini.
Betty Van Halen's offspring. Is that what's going on?
That's right. Yep.
Good. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got recommendals. We have Tom's Tech Time. We have a couple emails and we have more. Before we get to all that, Brian, why don't you play me a music? A music.
You know, we never did talk about what order these are in, but let's do...
we didn't, did we?
Let's do this one first. F first.
Okay, let me just take a look there. All right, got it.
All right. Eddie in Pittsburgh wrote in, said, Scott and Brian, it may be a little late for a request, but on December 6th, my wife Jenny and I will be celebrating our 17th anniversary. Oh. I was hoping you could play a cover of Genesis's Follow You, Follow Me for us. It may be a little overplayed, but the meaning still rings true for the two of us. If there are no good covers of it, I'll leave finding something appropriate in Brian's more than capable hands. Thanks for all the terrific entertainment over the years. Eddie in Pittsburgh.
All right.
So I've played the Red House Painters version on here before, as a matter of fact, fairly recently. So I don't want to play that one again, although I love that version of it. Here's the other version of it that I love, and it totally goes the opposite way. Where the Red House Painters version slows things down and makes it more of a wistful ballad, this version actually kind of ups the tempo a little bit and turns it into kind of a sing-along bar song, for lack of a better description.
Right.
This is cool. This is by a Danish band called The Vegetarians.
I don't know why that made me laugh. Just Danish and vegetarians are the same.
Danish vegetarians.
Yeah.
Came out in 2011 on their all cover album called Remustered and Remixed Salad. Really good covers on there. And I love this. This one's just fun to listen to.
All right.
This is Follow You, Follow Me by The Vegetarians.
My love, I hope you'll always be right here by my side if I ever needed you. Oh.
Janet Gaynor. These are only a few of the 20 former Academy Award winners who will be heard Thursday, March 19th, when NBC broadcasts the complete Academy Award presentation ceremonies. It's Hollywood's most important night of the year, the night when Academy Award Oscars will be presented to Hollywood's finest artists. Bob Hope will be master of ceremonies, and film star Paul Douglas will be the NBC radio commentator. When you listen to the Academy Awards broadcast via NBC, you'll hear the music nominated for the awards, the names of all of the actors, actresses, musicians, directors, and technicians who received this year's nominations.
Here, for instance, is a pleasing design.
Wow! So intro, much show! This is the Morning Stream!
Oh, that guy with the intro.
I know, you sounded like he was talking through a bed sheet.
It was terrible.
Delivering the Academy Awards through this.
And there were a few names there outside of Bob Hope. There were names there that would have been like, you know, the Brad Pitts of their day, who never heard of those guys in my life. Okay. Who are we calling here? Nicole is who we're calling. That's who it is. That's who it is, everybody.
Nicole.
That's right. That's who we're calling. It's not a damn thing anyone can do about it. All right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And I don't see her answering her phone just yet because I called too soon. Maybe I don't know where she is. I can text her, though.
She's,
oh, no, there she is. Nicole, are you there?
Here
you
I am. There? Yeah.
Well, hi. Well, how hi. Are you?
Hi.
Okay.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Oh, it went away.
Okay, it does that
Skype sometimes. Skype figured its business out.
Yeah, once in a while, it does what it's supposed to. Speaking of doing what it's supposed to, Wednesdays are supposed to be partially about recommendals, and damn it, here they are with Nicole Spag. It's good to have you on. How's your December so far?
Oh, not too bad.
Yeah.
Three days into it.
Yeah. Was your big...
How are these 3 days treating you so far?
How was your big Thanksgiving bash? I know you always go a little, not overboard, but you like to go crazy, and it's great.
You know what I did this year? Mm. I kind of let the grandmoms take over the sides. I just cooked the turkey. Oh, it was kind of nice.
That's the way to do it.
That is the way to do it. That's crowdsource that meal, what you need to do.
I did. Kickstarted it.
That's right. Well, it's good to have you on. We talk about movie recommendations from streaming services, and we have been doing these themes lately, which everyone's been loving. I've been loving it.
I did. Me too.
Today's dysfunctional family movie day, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Oh, no, I thought it was Jackie Chan buddy cop movies.
Damn it. Oh, shoot, Brian. Back to the drawing board for you. Well, good. Well, where do you want to start? What do you want to do?
Oh, okay. So I have no idea what you're going to pick. There are, it's such a generic topic that this could go anywhere.
Yeah.
I have no idea where this segment's going to go.
Yeah, could be
so
interesting.
So I'm going to ask you, would you like a funny dysfunctional family film or a serious dysfunctional family film?
Let's, for the sake of just...
I picked a funny one, so maybe we do want to balance it out.
Yeah, give us a serious
one. Unless Scott picked... Because I thought...
Mine's pretty serious. Pretty serious, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it wouldn't have been my first pick, but the stuff I was going to pick wasn't streaming.
Oh.
So, like, I was going to say...
Challenging part, right?
Well, I was going to do Family Stone or Royal Tannenbaums or something like that, but they are not streaming currently.
Mm.
And they're both great examples of dysfunctional families. And also, I mean, Tannenbaums is funny, but also weird and also...
Kind of the ultimate.
Sad.
Kind of the ultimate dysfunctional
family. Yeah, they're pretty weird. But... So I picked a serious one. So you do a funny one, I'll do a serious one.
Okay. All right. So my funny one is the 1989 film The Burbs.
Ah.
With Tom Hanks. I feel like I'm the only one that enjoyed this movie.
No, Brian Dunaway thinks it's the greatest thing ever made.
It's funny.
It is a very uncomfortable, funny movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a neighbor. Of course, they're in the suburbs. And the house next to Tom Hanks' house is like this. It reminds me of like the Addams Family house, right? It's just broken.
Creepy.
Right. Not painted. And the block is the picture perfect neighborhood of what you think of suburbia. Corey Feldman is in this movie.
Yep.
Bruce Dern.
Bruce Dern, baby. Just saw him in Freaking last week. We talked about Nebraska, and there he is again. It's great.
Carrie Fisher is in it. As Tom Hanks' wife, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. So it's just ridiculous and silly. And Tom Hanks is obsessed with the new neighbors that move into this house, and they're weird. And Bruce Dern's character is like USA guy, and he raises the flag every morning. So they all have their quirks. It's almost like Desperate Housewives.
Mm.
Like, I feel like Desperate Housewives was inspired by this.
Like a Wisteria Lane-esque. Yeah, it kind of is. Totally is. Yeah.
So it's just ridiculous and silly, and the families are hilarious, and you get just a quirky insight into, you know, probably what Europe thinks that the suburbs are like.
That sounds about right to me. I liked it a lot. I'm also one who liked it. I think it's just kind of twisted and out of its time. Like, it feels like it was a little ahead of its time.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
So I think a lot of people maybe at the time didn't quite know what to make of it. But
I forgot Malachi from Children of the Corn is in it.
Right.
Yeah, he is.
Right.
You know what's cool is Tom Hanks kind of had a few movies like this where they felt daring and weird. Like Joe versus the Volcano is still one of the weirdest damn things you'll ever see. Even The Money Pit is really kind of twisted. Like, it's there was a period there where he was making movies that kind of people weren't making. And
this is
one of them.
They weren't like straight ahead comedies.
So this is only streaming, I think, on Netflix. I didn't see it on Amazon. So,
well, there you go.
It's where you'll find it.
I like that one. My serious recommendation before we get to Brian's serious recommendation.
Mm-hmm. No, I have a funny recommendation.
So you're like the serious.
I'm the middle.
You're the serious.
You're the serious Oreo filling between our two comedy chocolate cookies.
I'm the grim piece of meat in this sandwich. It's not that grim, but it's the Hatfields and the McCoys.
I had a feeling you were going to pick that.
Yeah, wow. You don't get
either
much more.
That or Sopranos.
You don't get much more dysfunctional, I think, than the Hatfields and McCoys, at least in this depiction. So this is the newer Kevin Costner History Channel miniseries that was awesome, really, really good. And Costner's amazing in it. So is Hudson.
Oh, Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
Yeah,
is amazing in it. It is, and everybody, lots of little parts from people you either know or don't know that are really great. It's just really well acted, and it's great to see a Western that has some historical accuracy. And I'm sure some of this stuff is fluffed up a little bit, but It's awesome. It's a great watch. If you haven't seen it,
yeah. I've heard great things about it.
Totally worth watching. I think some people may have written it off, going History Channel. They don't make good movies, you know. But like AMC or a million other channels have proven, you totally can with the right people and budgets. And this is awesome. So Hatfield
only on Netflix.
Correct. Now, if Netflix was still streaming The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia, I might have recommended that.
Wow. Yeah, that's a.
It's a documentary,
a dysfunctional documentary, yeah.
And those people, dude. I mean, for real, the most dysfunctional family I've ever seen on camera are those people. But that is no longer streaming, which is a real shame because that's so worth seeing and it's such a great cautionary tale and worth watching. But that's not up there. So if you're looking for angry, pissed off, broken families, well, the Hatfields and the McCoys, they got something for you.
Well, there's a reason why that's kind of like lore and almost a fairy tale.
Yeah.
It's kind of morphed into its own thing, right? Yeah.
They're the legendary broken families. Yeah. Like they represent the great American busted family. Yeah. And you're right about the fairy tale nature of it, because even though it is all based on real stuff and there are still some weird things between those two families to this day.
I'm married to half of it.
Oh,
I'm married to a McCoy. Yeah.
No way, dude.
And there was a guy named Hatfield that worked with Tina's dad at the hospital that wouldn't even talk to him because
really?
Of that.
Like, really?
Yeah. Yes.
Awesome.
Still to this day in like the 1990s, this was before 2000, that wouldn't talk to him because it was like this deep rooted feud thing.
I think that's hilarious.
It's so weird.
It should continue it really on forever. Crazy. It should continue forever because it's so dumb. Like anybody living now has anything to be mad about. Yet they still retain this weird thing.
I'm not going to talk to you.
You're a Hatfield. 300 years ago, somebody I don't have any connection to did something to somebody else, so I'm going to be pissed now.
He stepped on my property.
Yeah, basically.
He shot a deer on my property.
Property. I like when you get all Midwest on me. I like that. That was pretty good.
I can pull it out sometimes.
I know. I like it. All right, Brian.
I'm going to correct myself, too. And The Burbs is streaming on Amazon Prime. Oh, so you can find one on both Amazon Prime and Netflix.
Very nice. I noticed this year, thank goodness Netflix figured out their crap and realized that they shouldn't pull Planes, Trains, and Automobiles the week before Thanksgiving like they did last year. Big dummies.
Oh, God, that's crazy.
Yeah, this year they kept it, so that's good.
Whoops.
All right, Brian, what's yours? What do you got?
Mine is from 1996. It's a film about adopted parents and road trip and licking the armpit of Patricia Arquette. It is Flirting with Disaster.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that.
That is a weird one.
This is a weird one, but I think it's so funny and so quirky. It is, and people going to Netflix, please disregard the box art. The box art makes it look like something that totally isn't.
Yeah.
With this weird, sexy photo of Patricia Arquette. So it's about Ben Stiller and Patricia Arquette. They're a married couple who are having a baby, and Ben Stiller is an adopted son who doesn't know his birth mother, doesn't know his birth parents. And before he can give his son a name, he feels like he needs to have this trek to go meet his real parents. And his adopted parents are Mary Tyler Moore and George Segal, and they're hilarious. And there we go. Yes. Scott found the photo of licking Patricia Arquette's armpit.
Gross. Nice. Gross. Well, I'm trying to understand why that would be a thing that would ever happen, but I guess I need to see the movie to figure it
people
out.
People have their quirks.
All right.
That's Josh Brolin, by the way.
No, that's Josh Brolin?
Yes.
He's so young.
It's even better. So they make this journey to find Ben Stiller's real mom and dad, and and stuff happens along the way. Taya Leone is kind of the therapist that travels along with them. Alan Alda and Lily Tomlin are this hilarious couple that figure into this somehow, and just the scenes alone with Alan Alda and Lily Tomlin are worth. Worth the move, worth its weight in gold. I mean, this movie is so funny.
Oh, cool.
And totally recommend it. Came out in 1996, available streaming on Netflix, and worth checking out. Oh, this is a David O. Russell. I did not realize this was a David O. Russell. So if you liked American Hustle by David O. Russell, you might like this.
You might like American Armpit by David O. Russell.
You know what movie I thought you were just kind of based on how you were describing it? Yeah. I thought for a minute you were going to pick the serious one that I was going to suggest, which was The Kids Are All
Right. Oh, yeah, that is a serious movie.
Yeah. With Julianne Moore and
Mark Ruffalo,
Annette Bening,
script owner.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'd watch.
Yeah, there were a couple that I looked for that weren't Dan in Real Life. I was hoping for, but that's not streaming.
Oh, I love Dan in Real Life.
Yeah,
That's a great movie. Even though I hate Dane Cook and he's in it, but
yeah, it's about the only thing I really like by Dane Cook.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to re-recommend Jeff Who Lives at Home. Mm-hmm. But it's not streaming anymore, unfortunately. I recommend that a while back, and I thought that was an unexpected great film.
Jeff Who Lives at Home.
Jeff Who Lives at Home.
Why do I not remember?
It's about a guy and his three sisters, and I can't remember who play all of his sisters. But
He's just a guy. He's played by the guy from How I Met Your Mother.
Jason Segel.
Jason Segel, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know the one. And you have talked about it before. I just couldn't put two and two together here.
They have a interesting family dynamic there, too. With Ed Helms, yeah.
Oh, I realized as we were preparing for this, there are so many movies that fall in this category.
And unfortunately, a lot of them aren't streaming.
Yeah. But Hollywood loves a jacked up family is what I'm learning.
Yeah, they do.
They're everywhere. Well, good. This has been fun. I always enjoy this.
This was a good topic.
Before we do a Quizler, we have a topic for next week?
I'm just kind of going down the list, and the next list submitted by Terry JH is Netflix Originals.
Oh.
Do you want to do a Netflix Original?
Yeah, I would.
Why not?
Because I want to see, there's something on there I want to watch that I haven't yet that is called a Netflix. I see some of these, it's a little misleading because some of them say a Netflix original, even though it was like a BBC series for 3 years or somebody else did it. So I know they're adopting a lot of things and it's not like House of Cards.
I think they buy the rights to it or something.
I'll bet I can figure out which Netflix original you're interested in based on your recent delving into The Sopranos.
Really? You think so? Oh, you think it's going to be Lilyhammer, don't you?
That's what I was thinking. I guess not.
I haven't seen that yet. Well, not yet. Maybe I'll watch one and I'll change my mind, but I have an idea. I like that. That's a good one. So we'll do that next week.
Yeah, I like that too.
Chat room, if you want to play along, feel free. Nicole, anything going on in your world we should mention before you go? Oh, do a Quizler.
Give us a Quizler?
Yeah, we'll do a Quizler. That's what's going on in my world. For a minute, I thought I closed it.
Oh, wait, here's your theme.
There you go.
Here's your theme. All right, go ahead.
Quizler!
Why don't you go back to the living room and enjoy yourself, Russ?
Come on, boy. Let's go find your sister.
Oh, the Christmas Vacation.
I'm trying to figure out which one that was. Is that Christmas Vacation?
Yeah.
That's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
The Griswolds, I think, are the quintessential dysfunctional.
Yeah, they are.
They were an easy target, so I avoided them because we're going to watch them in like a couple of days. But
I love that line. Let's go find your sister.
Go find your sister. He's so annoying in this movie. He really is the most annoying character. Yeah. And it's on purpose.
He really causes all the problems.
It just makes you hate him. Like, there's parts where you're like, oh. Well, I mean, you love him, but you hate him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if he was real and this was your life, oh, man.
Ugh.
Get rid of Cousin Eddie.
The worst.
Shitter's full.
I almost played the meltdown scene that Chevy Chase was.
Oh, yeah.
Tylenol.
That's really good.
I have many too many.
Hallelujah. Holy fuck.
You know what's funny is my daughter, last night we were doing neighbor gifts and she out of nowhere while we're walking around the neighborhood passing out neighbor gifts.
What is this neighbor gifts?
Oh, you guys don't do that?
Just like casually referencing it.
We've always done this. Kim makes like a little, it's usually something silly like a, I don't know, like a bag of marshmallows or something. It'll say, these are snowman turds or whatever. Happy Merry Christmas from the Johnsons, that kind of thing. So,
there's a shovel so you can clean the crap up off your front lawn.
Not like that. It's always very nice. This year it's hand soap and some kind of little poem and then, Merry Christmas the Johnsons on there.
Aww.
So she does these things every year. I assumed everybody did these. But
can
maybe
I hire
does.
Her?
Sure. She's all yours.
No kidding.
So we're around walking around the neighborhood, passing them out or giving them to doors. And suddenly Carter out of nowhere behind me starts going, Clark, is your house on fire, Clark? And I turn around and go, what are you doing? She goes, we got to watch that movie. I'm like, I agree, but you can't just Tourette's it out like that in the street.
I would, Carter, I get you. I do that all the time.
She's such That's a nut. Funny. Anyway, anything going on this week you should tell people about?
We have a new Lazy Leap posted, hopefully today, and we're recording new Nerd Parents today as well.
Lovely. Who's your guests?
Cleo and Eric.
Oh, lovely.
The regular show.
The regular show.
Catching up, find out what happened during Thanksgiving and all the fun details of having a family over and organizing that.
Well, I can say two things. One, it's a great show, and two,
stops B.O. as no other leading soap can.
All right, great. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Go. It's Nicole Spag. Stay out of trouble. See you later. All right. Great. What do you think? Tom Merritt time?
Yes.
Okay. I can arrange it.
Some tech.
I have the arrangement. I can make the arrangements.
Can you make this happen, Scott? Can you please make this happen?
It is within my power to do.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man in question is Tom Merritt.
That's right. Fight the man. Don't let the man get you down.
Stand up against the man.
Fight myself.
Speaking of the man, dude, how excited are we that this week's guest on Current Geek is David Hewlett, star of Stargate Atlantis and also the pilot in the first Planet of the Apes remake movie that spread the disease across the world because he got on a plane sick.
And also a real human being. I say that not, you know, because he's a really great guy. I've been lucky enough to have him on Tech News Today a couple of times in the past. And he's always a pleasure. He's just a real fun guy to talk to. Yeah. He's a geek like us. Yeah. I'm stoked. It's going
to
be fun.
Very excited to have him on there. So that's Friday, everybody, at 5 p.m. Mountain Time. Streamed live. Watch for it.
Don't miss it.
Don't miss it.
See internet TV.
Tom Merritt is here and he does tech stuff all day. And one of the things he does on Wednesdays is pop in here and like share what he's been working on in the world of tech. And I feel like I'm out of touch tech wise this week. I feel like I haven't been sort of in it to win it, as some might say, as the kids say.
I have a remedy for that. It's called the Daily Tech News Show.
Oh, good.
Here's the secret, Scott. Yeah. A lot of people think, you know, Tom, that's great. I'm glad you do the Daily Tech News Show. I don't have time for that. Hmm. You know, every day, 30 plus minutes of tech news. You don't have to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah. Just pieces.
First 15 minutes are headlines. Yeah. You can stop.
Yeah, you could go away after that.
Speak out early. We don't have sponsors. Listen as much or as little as you want.
Wow. This is a brave new world you're describing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's insane. What's going on in the world of tech? I hope something exciting and life-changing.
What's kind of, in a small way,
all right.
Google has announced a new way of doing CAPTCHA.
Oh, gosh.
Now, the bad news, and if everybody's like, wait a minute, what's CAPTCHA again? CAPTCHA is when you have to type in the distorted letters and numbers that I always get wrong.
is that an F or a really long
some
P?
Some of them, it's just such a mixed bag for me. Some of them are great. Like, oh, I can totally tell what all of those say. And then there are other times where some sites will use a version of CAPTCHA that looks terrible and makes no sense. It's hieroglyphics and they don't know what letter it's supposed to correspond to.
I would make the joke that I must be an AI because I am unable to figure them out most of the time. Except that Google says that algorithms are better than me because they solve them 99% of the time.
Oh, wow.
I only solve them like
10%
of the time, I think. But they've got a new way of doing it. So you'll see this now. I know Snapchat has it, and I think a few, like Humble Bundle was trying it out. It's just a checkbox.
What?
There's no distorted letters or words to read. All you got to do is check a checkbox that says, I'm not a robot.
Wait a minute.
It seems like you could write a program that would just check boxes if it found that.
Yeah, there's JavaScript available to do that. That seems weird to me.
That's where Google's gotcha. Because you know what they're doing on the back end. Because we all know Google spies on every part of your life.
Right.
If you let. Google is looking at the profile of the user, first of all, and saying, is that an IP address we're used to? Are they logged into a Google service? XYZ. And already before you even start to check the checkbox, it's making a profile. It's profiling. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But it's profiling you and saying, like, probably a human fits the pattern. And then as you check the checkbox and afterward, it monitors your mouse movements and it can tell, apparently, and we don't know how, it can tell by the mouse movements whether you're likely to be a real human or not.
Wow.
And that's
wow.
the part that's difficult for the AIs to program is natural mouse movements that yeah. mimic humans.
So, sure, so how is it tracking that, though? See, that's where I get a little weirded out.
How's it tracking what?
The mouse movements.
Oh, it's all your mouse movements are tracked at all times because the computer has to know the position. Yeah. So whatever computer is accepting input from the mouse has to know where the cursor is. So the software is just going like, okay, it went from that coordinate to that coordinate to that coordinate to that coordinate.
Oh, okay.
That's easy.
Is this going to make Chrome even more of a memory hog or or what?
No, actually, I mean, Chrome's already doing this, right? Because Chrome has to know where your mouse is pointing for you to click on something,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure.
So that, it's just passed along that data like it always does.
Okay, so that makes sense. If the data is... So within the window of a web browser, speaking of desktop, forget about mobile for a minute or whatever, but if you're on a desktop and it's like, oh, I know your mouse is this coordinate, now it's this coordinate, and you've hit the thing. Okay, cool. I get all of that. When it comes to mobile, though, is there a difference? Is it?
Yeah, actually, on mobile, they don't do it this way. On mobile, they've rolled out a CAPTCHA that has you match images. So you'll click the box, you'll tap the box that says I'm not a robot, and it'll say select all the images below that match this one. You may have seen this kind of thing before. And the example they're using in their materials today is a picture of a cat and then a picture of some cats, some dogs, some gerbils, some poison ivy.
And you just picture, and it's not the same image, it's that, oh, that's also a cat.
You have to, yeah, conceptually understand, oh, that is also a cat.
Right.
So I will tap that. That, however, is a German Shepherd. As far as I know, German Shepherds are never cats. I will not tap that.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of this theory I have that it's probably not just my theory, but I'll just say it is for sake of argument.
By the way, everybody in the chat room who is a programmer is going, oh, it's actually JavaScript. Yeah. You're right.
Well, you know, the nerds come out of the woodwork. When somebody sees, so for example, When you tell me that, oh, the method is now you see a cat and now you find another image with a cat in it and they're totally different images. The pixels are arranged in a way that you know, it's not obvious to say that, oh, they're both cats or whatever. To me, I just hear in my head a hacker somewhere going, ah, you think that's hard, do you? I'll figure out a way. And then before you know it, he's got a way to algorithmically know that they're both cats. Do you know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I actually kind of think it's good because... What pushes security standards is people hacking security, does it not? I mean, isn't that the whole point? Is that the bad guys make the good guys do better work, and therefore it's harder to hack. But then when they figure it out, well, but we're one step ahead of you because now we're making you match up pictures of gerbils. And
yeah,
hackers well, make security stronger.
In exactly. a way.
You're right. Also, don't keep in mind that not every one of these captures is going to have a cat. So the attacker who would like to subvert this is going to have to be able to recognize all kinds of images. It's a little easier to stay ahead in that case.
Yeah.
When you're like, oh, fine, we'll show Coke cans.
Yeah.
And we'll show pictures of mountains versus pictures of, you know, rolling hills. Like there's lots of ways. I'm sure they've got a huge bank of images that algorithmically appear similar, but to a human eye look different. But you're right. All of that said... The reason they're doing this is because the distorted word CAPTCHAs eventually got cracked. Watson, the computer that won at Jeopardy, was one of the computers that was able to do 99%. And so even though your average hacker out there maybe not going to be able to bring the computing power of Watson to bear, they can get pretty close. And so this is the next step. And you're right, it's an arms race, right? Mm. Eventually... Somebody's going to hit on something. Maybe it's not even recognizing the images. Maybe it's another way to determine, oh, well, the arrangement of the correct answers is usually here. So we'll try that and we'll be right 50% of the time.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you're right. The folks who want to break through this will get closer. And then Google, you know, they're going to keep working on this as everybody else will. And they'll start figuring out a new way.
I like it.
And that's the thing is Google came up with this because they want to prevent click fraud on their ads.
Right.
Right. And it's just a side benefit that they're like, oh, this will also help the CAPTCHA.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, you know, like the future we always see in science fiction or movies and stuff is that, oh, one day we'll walk up to any sort of terminal or computing device, and it will read our retina and do a voice recognition. Those will be our two-step authentications.
Yeah.
And that's what we've always sort of been told.
Well, those are both the same step, Scott, because those are both something you are.
Freaking JavaScript. But
not something you have or know.
But here's the thing. That is only a useful solution when we are all having some sort of standard. And we don't have that. We have brands and makes and models that all are competing for different things. And one has a great camera that would be perfect for scanning something. The other has a terrible camera because they don't think that's important. Instead, they have a great microphone, but the one with the great camera has a terrible microphone. And there's non-standard mobile devices and now watches. And you know, like, there's no... The one big break with science fiction predicting the future is that we would already be doing those things if we could all just agree that, yeah, everything should have this scanner and everything should have that scanner. And we don't do that.
Oh, that's such a lovely thought. I want to see the Star Trek made where they actually have standards problems, like interoperability issues. You know, like the Ferengi just can't dock because they're like, oh, you switched to the D9 air socket. We yeah. can't. We haven't upgraded to that standard. We're using the proprietary Vulcan model.
Right.
Data's using a proprietary data cable.
Data can't interface with LCARS because it did a software upgrade and he's incompatible now.
Oh, when you said standard data cable, we thought you meant a standard data cable.
Data cable.
Oh. Yeah.
But you're right. You're right. Yeah. Exactly. Like, it is frustrating to watch this over the years and go, well, we've had this technology forever.
Yeah.
We just couldn't agree how to use it. And that aside, I mean, you're absolutely right about the hardware and the standards and all of that. It's still, the retina scanning is not quite there. It doesn't work as reliably as some of the companies want you to think it does.
Yeah.
And so it's actually cool that Touch ID came along, and this is very Apple of them, popularized something that already worked because it's showing like, hey, the fingerprint thing actually has gotten pretty good. We can do that now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, our future is bright, is all I know. If Google had their way, we'd all have Google Glass, and that would just do authentication in front of whatever we were in front of. But that's kind of my point. That's Google's
heartbeat?
Idea.
Heartbeat?
Yeah, heartbeat, dude. That's a good one.
There have been a few attempts at using like your heartbeat to identify you because your heart rhythm is particular.
Is it very? Is it like fingerprints in that way that everyone is?
I don't think, if I remember right, this is off the top of my head. If I remember right, it's not as unique,
yeah.
But it's unique enough. That you're, you know, not, it could be used as one factor anyway. You're not likely to have the same.
Seems like the Finnish people would have an advantage because you can see their heart through their skin. They're almost translucent, those people. So
right.
So you can get a good visual on it. So like a baby fish. Just a little boop, 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 boop.
I do also want to put a vote in for typing recognition, which is actually what this mouse thing reminds me of, is people have a particular pattern to the way they type.
Yeah.
And there are lots of software out there that can recognize that and authenticate you just because of the way you type your password. And it doesn't matter what your password is. You have to be both typing in the password and typing it the way you would type it, yeah. Which is also hard for an AI to mimic.
I find this stuff just super interesting because in a way it's kind of workaroundy. Like right now, like this picture matching thing is this guy's going, hey, you know what computers can't do yet? They can't think what a cat looks like from a different angle. It's a good idea, Bill. Put that in there. Like there's a fun quality to these workarounds.
Yeah.
But they don't match up with the perfect sci-fi future we've been promised.
Right. The fact that you have to do it at all, right? Yeah, perfect sci-fi future is you sit down and your computer recognizes you without you doing anything.
Yeah.
And goes, oh, well, you're obviously Scott.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to allow you to use me, but I won't be useful for anybody
else. It's like what the Kinect told us it would do, but doesn't do.
Yeah, and it still does it, man. It never recognizes. I have the worst luck with facial recognition software for some reason. Yeah. Always have.
Yeah. Well, people think-
used to be hilarious at CES. I'd be like, I'm going to ruin your demo. Here we go.
Really, that's so funny.
Toshiba, they were like really frustrated. They're like, "Well, try it again." I'm like, "It's not going to work."
Yeah, what is that? That's weird because I don't. I look at you and know exactly. I see a photo of you and go, "Oh, it's Tom."
I am a walking Turing test.
That's amazing. I love that. All right, Tom Merritt, always a pleasure. Daily Tech News Show today, of course. People should tune in. Who's up on the second chair?
Allison Sheridan is on.
Oh, she's great.
From the Silicast, yeah.
Yeah, she's great. She was at Nerdtacular.
She's actually streaming on one of the other Alpha Geek radio channels today, I noticed.
Oh, very nice. Well,
don't switch over. Just wait.
Yeah, wait.
And listen to her on Daily Tech News Show, and then listen to Silicast later.
Yeah, that's the beauty of podcasting. It's all there on the hard drive, folks. Well, great. Anything else happening before we cut you out?
I've got two new stores. One of them's newer than the other. Swordandlaser.com/store. If people are looking for those flasks, like we have for Current Geek or Morning Stream, there's one for Sword and Laser available there. We also have t-shirts and the Sword and Laser Anthology. So, you know, if you're looking for some gift giving for your Sword and Laser fan in your family, if you have a really large family that happens to have one of those. Also, Daily Tech News Show started a store. DailyTechNewsShow.com/store.
Oh, perfect.
We have coffee mug, t-shirt, and mouse pad, and also just added yesterday original art by Jenny Josephson.
Oh, what?
Oh, wow.
I didn't know Jenny did art.
She filled in Berlin one time when he was gone, and she was just goofing around, doing a little, like, what's a normal to-do, like, drawing. And people loved it. And so we scanned it in and put it up there.
Because
you can buy
so cool.
all Len stuff at Len Peralta's store.
Sure.
This was previously unavailable.
Ooh, this is an exclusive, folks. Go get it.
Exactly.
So Tom replaced the vial of his skin follicles with this instead.
Yeah, well, it just wasn't selling.
Yeah. DNA, you thought it was big, but not so much anymore. Great. Well, it's Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter, TomMerritt.com. Tom, it's always good to see you, and we'll talk
Pleasure
to you next
to talk
time.
With y'all.
Bye now.
See you, Tom.
See ya. Can't wait to have Hewlett on. I'm so excited.
See you, Tom.
All right, that's it for that. And that is it for the show, everybody. We are done. We are done. We'll be back tomorrow. Okay, so once again, if the doctor's office calls and schedules it for tomorrow, that means tonight I have to take the devil drink, and then I'm in there in the morning. But I have no idea. I thought
coffee was the devil drink.
I thought that was supposed to happen last night, so it didn't, and maybe it won't happen tonight. And if it doesn't happen tonight, that's no good because I can't do it Friday, so it would be next week anyway. So I don't think it's a problem, but just to let people know, there's
just
a possibility. Keep your eye on Twitter, @MorningStream, if something comes up. Otherwise, we'll be here. Wendy should be here. We haven't had Therapy Thursday in a few weeks, so it'll be good to have her back.
Yeah.
And I think that's all there is to say about
start powering up the internet machine now, Wendy.
Yeah. Oh, and Blizzard, thanks for being down all day yesterday. Thanks for that.
Yeah, no kidding. My garrison missions were useless.
Yeah, I tried again like late last night. I could never get in all day. It was driving me crazy. Anyway, I'll try this morning. Brian, let's leave.
It is up and running this morning.
Oh, is it? Okay, good.
Get in there and get some garrison missions.
No DDoSes today.
Not to my knowledge. No.
Let's take a. Take our leave.
Take a break. Let's take a break for a day.
Let's take our leave. you're going to give us music, though, because you always do. Oh, before we do, frogpants.com/TMS. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, @MorningStream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville. Oh, and there's a Coverville today.
There is. Yeah. So Tom Waits is turning 65. I mentioned that yesterday. Also having a birthday this week, Jay-Z. So expect a cover of 99 Problems for the 45-year-old.
I tried to just do his voice, and I didn't do it very good.
Do that one again?
I just went, but it's like a cowboy. It's Hold on. He goes, hey, it's your boy Jay-Z. Hold on, let me try it again. Yo, it's your boy Jay-Z. Is that pretty good? It's terrible. I'm never doing that again.
That sounds like the old Eureka Miner guy from...
My prospector?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe there's some gold in them hills.
A little bit.
All right. Screw that. But yes, that'll be fun. Watch for that. Coverville.com for details.
2 p.m. today, live on the stream at Coverville.com/live. And I do need to fix that page because it still has all the Coverville Coverthon stuff on it.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing? Get on that.
Oh, golly. It's not like I've had time, mister.
All right, fine. You have covers you do on the show now, and now we'll do one. Yeah. What is it?
Peter Butler wrote in and said, hey, Skullock and Bone Maw. A longtime listener and sometimes visitor known around the tadpole as One Tooth. This is my first time sending in a request. I recently discovered Home Free, an amazing a cappella group, and thought, I've got to email Brian. He's going to love them, in particular, their version of Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire. So, just wishing you both Merry Christmas, and thank you for an amazing year. We're all looking forward to an amazing 2015. Show the Van Gogh, yo. Peter, a.k.a. One Tooth from Bone Temple Pilots.
It's awesome.
It is awesome. Yeah, this is good. I checked out the video he sent a link to, and this actually has... one of the guys from Pentatonix helping out with vocals on it, which is even cooler. And holy cow, the bass on one of these, Evie Kaplan is the guy from Pentatonix. And I think he actually might be the guy who does the big bass drop, and you'll hear that later on in the song. Right. It is originally done by Anita Carter, but of course, most associated with Johnny Cash. This is Ring of Fire, performed by Home Free.
All right, we are Home Free. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you guys tomorrow on a brand new episode of Tear Burst.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher.
And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. And I fell for you like a child. Whoa, divine wind wild.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher.
And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Yay, love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Desire, I fell into a ring of fire.
Burger's dead too.
Burger's dead too. What?